Hello and welcome to the broadcast for the children in the way who are from year 7 to as high as you want to go, really. And this is the recording for Valentine's Day, 14th of February 2021. So I hope you are experiencing a lot of love today. I pray that God is showing you his love and that you are sharing that love with other people, that for whatever level of love you are receiving, whether that's from your friends and your family or it is from other people, I pray that it is an appropriate love for you and that you receive the right amount to give you the strength to go on. Today I am we're going to play our little game of guessing, and I've got quite a lot of information because I did quite a lot of research about this. But today I am thinking of a country, which is a nice change to all the animals that we've had so far. I quite like aardvark from last week. So today I've got a lot of facts about this country. But for 5 points, this country has got 210 castles and it makes 150 different types of beer. Who knows about that? I wonder. That's for 5 points. For 4 points, its capital city has the longest train station in all of Europe. Well, at least that narrows it down and you know which continent the country is in. For 3 points, and this might be of interest to some of you because it's the stage in education that you're in, all the high school is free to people, and the universities are free for people born in this country and people coming in from out of that country. And this survey was done in 2018, so hopefully that is still true, because that would be a big thing. Imagine not having to pay for universities. That would be so cool. For 2 points, this country has borders with Austria, Belgium, Denmark, France, the Czech Republic, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Poland, and Switzerland. So, 9 countries that it borders with. Do you have any idea which country I am thinking of? And for 1 point, this country was one of the founding members of the EU. There are only 5 of them, so you should be easily able to work that out. Did you guess that I was talking about Germany? Yes, Germany is a really, really interesting place. It has a population currently of 81 million people. As I say, this was a survey done in 2018. I'm not sure whether that is still true. 1/3 of Germany is covered in forest and woodlands, which is a big thing. Otherwise, they wouldn't have bothered to write it down. 65% of the highways in Germany have no speed limit, so you can go as fast as you like and really put your foot down. Oh my goodness me, that sounds quite dangerous. But then that's with me with my adult head on. So some of you that have passed your test, you might be thinking, ooh, great place to go for a drive. Germany is the 7th largest country in Europe. And one of its big cities, Bonn, is 9 times bigger than Paris and has more bridges than Venice, which is interesting to know. The first book ever published was published in Germany, and it still is one of the largest publishers of books in the world. And in 1663, the first magazine was launched in Germany. 3 more things. It has the largest... the longest word in any language is a German word, and it has 79 characters, 79 letters to it, which is very, very long. I'm not even going to bother trying to pronounce it. There are over 300 types of bread in Germany and over 1,000 types of sausages. which is really good. And the last one, there are more football fan clubs in Germany than anywhere else in the world. Wow. Lots to learn there about Germany. So I hope you enjoyed that. Okay, so today we are talking about two parables. The first one is the 10 virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins. And we find that in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1. Okay, just remembering that I'm using notes that were, I'm using guidelines really. I don't use their notes all the time. And sometimes I get a feeling about what to include and what to revise. But these notes are from a website called Swap Meets Dave. I just like to put that in every now and again so that you know that, yeah, it's not all my original thought. And also just to let you know that we've got 2 more weeks after today, we've got 2 more weeks of parables. And then on the 6th of March, we are going to have a big parable quiz with easy questions and hard questions. So the recordings for Ignite and The Way will be the same thing. So you can listen to that with your younger brothers or sisters because we're going to all share the same thing. Right, so Matthew chapter 25 from verse 1 says, and this is Jesus speaking, at that time the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry ran out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "they may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I do not know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Ho, 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 ho.
All right, so a few things to think about here. Let's just look at the characters. So we've got the bridegroom, who is Jesus, and there's a wedding feast, which is the end of the time of judgment, and the world coming to an end, and Jesus' second coming to the earth to judge it. Okay, and then we've got these virgins who are more like bridesmaids of our time. They are like bridesmaid. And they are ready for the wedding. So what used to happen in Jewish tradition is that the bridesmaid would meet the bridegroom and travel with him from his house to the bride's house. And then from the bride's house, the whole wedding procession would then go to a designated place where the banquet was going to be held. And then after that, then the man and wife now would go off to their celebration of their wedding, of their marriage. So the bridesmaids, or the virgins in this case, the Bible calls them the virgins, they were supposed to be ready for whatever the bridegroom needed to do. And also, if the bridegroom took a long time on any one of these stages, that was fine. That sometimes happened. So the virgins were ready. And we have to think that they knew about this. They, you know, when I've been a bridesmaid, and I've been a bridesmaid 4 times, I have been prepared. You know, they do my hair in the morning, then whatever makeup has to be applied, then we make sure we've got tissues, we make sure we have got
you know, things ready just in case the bride needed it. We talk about it a lot. What shoes are we going to wear? What clothes? And how are we going to carry the tissues that the bride might need? And we have to do up her makeup late, like halfway through the day, to make sure she's still looking gorgeous at the end of the day. Who's going to carry that? And at what stage, when she needs the toilet, how are we going to make sure she does that safely? And all that sort of thing. So you talk about it a lot beforehand, and you all talk about what you're wearing. But you are ready. By the time the wedding day comes, you are ready. I remember at my wedding, my husband gave 3 people quite a large amount of money. And he said, if during the wedding anything happens that needs money, people are going to come to you. So here's some money ready for that situation. If you don't use it, you can give me the money back. But if you do use it, fantastic. That's fine. That's what that money is for. So he was ready. He was prepared for any eventualities. And you will find in this parable, it talks a lot about watching and praying. This is very, very important, because not only to be the wise virgins, we have to watch, see what the signs of the times are, see what is happening around us, read that and interpret it so that we put it into action, we put it into practice. It is like, if you knew there were roadblocks on your route to go into town, you would not leave at the same time as normal if you want to get to town by a certain time. Let's say it was school. If you were going to school and you knew there were roadblocks along the way, you cannot leave at the same time as you normally do to get to school on time. Because you will not get to school on time because the roadworks are there. So if you know about the roadworks the night before, the next day you have to wake up early. You have to do something different if you want to arrive on time. And this is one of the failures of the foolish virgins. They knew what they were supposed to do. We cannot be merciful in this parable and think that, oh, they didn't know. They didn't know that they needed lamps. They didn't know that the bridegroom might be late. We could have been charitable and said that if the other girls had not been ready. The other girls were ready and they had things prepared. So somebody must have known. Somebody must have clocked on. Somebody must have been wise and put these things, contingency plan, as it were. If the bridegroom is late, what's going to be plan A? What's going to be plan B? If you don't have a plan B for your life, you are not watching and praying and being ready. And where does all of this planning come from? Where does all of this wisdom to know what to do come from? It comes from the praying. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. When you're praying, God gives you those little insights to tell you, do this and do that at the right time, and you will find you are ready for anything. Some people were not emotionally ready for the pandemic. They were not emotionally ready to be separated from their friends, loved ones, and church in the way. So you will find that some Christians have gone by the way. They have fallen, you know, out of their routine just because things have changed. But if we were praying, we would be strong enough to know we still have to be faithful. Are you still listening to the church broadcasts? Are you still taking part in praise and worship? Are you still being good and doing the things that Jesus has asked you to do? We'll come to that bit again in a minute. But sometimes we are late. Sometimes we are late for the things that we're supposed to. Again, let's use the analogy of school, because that obviously is very common for all of us. So sometimes we are late for school. Why are we late for school? Is it because we've overslept? Is it because we were slower in getting ready? Is it because there were roadblocks that we did not take into account? Is it because when we saw the roadblocks, we did not take an alternative route? Sometimes we are late and we can't help it. But sometimes we are late and we could jolly well have done something to prevent us being late. Could we have done something differently? And this is the thing. It answers the question, who will get into heaven and who will not get into heaven? If you are not watching and praying and strengthening yourself from the inside out, Jesus is going to come back and find that you are not ready and prepared, and you have fallen asleep, and your lamp, because the virgins had to keep their lamps burning so that the bridegroom would know where the house is, where all the party is happening. It was part of the custom that the lamps would be lit all the time. And they were lit all the time. The problem came when the bridegroom arrived and the foolish virgins saw that, you know what, they've been burning all night and now we don't have enough oil in our lamp. And how are they supposed to get that oil in our lamp? We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be praying for wisdom, for God to help us to be wise. So if the foolish virgins, there were things they could have done, because the other five girls did it. The other five girls had extra oil and they were able to trim their wick, their lamps, and then refill up the oil and then keep, be ready when the bridegroom arrived. So there's no excuse and there's no need to feel sorry for these five foolish virgins. They really should have been ready. They should have been watching and praying. And even in the story, Jesus is really quite merciless with them. So, and if we look at the other wise girls, should they have shared? Should they have been kind? Should they have been lovely and said, oh, you poor girls, you haven't been ready. Okay, I'll share my oil with you. But if they had done that, there was not going to be enough oil for them and the foolish girls. So what is that like for us today? Okay, because Jesus asks us to do some things together as a corporate body, as a church, as his bride. But there are some things that you have to do individually for yourself. You cannot expect that people will pray for you and you just say amen. You have to do the hard work yourself. You have to go by yourself before God and pray for yourself. You cannot keep going to people and saying, oh, please pray for me, or please read the Bible and explain it to me, or please do this for me. As a Christian, you have your own responsibility. You have a responsibility to keep in touch with the movement of the world, with the things that are changing in the world, and to pray for those things. It's your responsibility. You cannot ask other people to do it. Your family cannot do it for you. Your friends cannot do it for you. Your parents, as much as they might love you, cannot do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You cannot be riding on the coattails of others. You need to be able to read the Bible for yourself. You need to be able to hear God's voice yourself. I mean, the times when I always feel like I hear God's voice, and it's not a big booming voice from the sky with thunder and lightning, it's just a little inkling. Sometimes before I go to bed, I'll think, oh, I must give Kay a ring. Or I must give so-and-so a call and just find out how they are. And then if I don't write it down on a list, I will forget. But if I write it down and then the next morning I call that person, I might find that they really needed a chat, or they really needed me, or even during the conversation, I might say something that really helps me and changes my life and my outlook, or encourages me to be a stronger person. So there usually is a reason why that happens. And there are a few times when I haven't listened and I haven't written it down. And then the next day I'll be cracking my head trying to think, what was that I was trying to remember that I feel God was telling me to do? And, and then I find out that Kay got that help, but from someone else. And it really does disappoint me, because I know I haven't listened. I haven't been listening and watching and praying for God's signals. Because God's signals are not going to be thunder and lightning and all of this. They're not going to be big and pushy and interfere in your day. They're going to be just slight whisperings that just tap into you a little bit, little tap on the shoulder. And if you don't pay attention, God will go and use someone else to achieve what you were supposed to do. We'll talk more about our assignments later on. Jesus showing no mercy. When the five foolish girls come back and they're like, yay, we're ready to party now, can we come in? And he's like, nope, absolutely not. You are to go away where you will receive punishment for not being prepared. Again, this is why I say that the virgins knew what they were supposed to be doing, but they chose not to do it. They chose not to follow along. And all of them had been given the same training. All of them had been given the same things to do. But just the one difference that five of them were wise and prepared and had extra. And where do we get this extra? And what is it? It's like we all came to this pandemic and we are all suffering under it the same way. But some of us are being stronger Christians and able to still rely on God and still have faith and still be strong and still do the things that God has asked us to do without moaning, groaning and complaining about it. But some of us have really crumbled. There's some people that have left the church. There's some people that have lost their faith in God. There's some people that, you know, are really struggling emotionally and the devil is riding their thoughts. And why is that? Because they have not been praying. They have not been keeping their eyes focused on God. They've taken their eyes off the ball, basically. And really and truly, when that happens, you leave yourself open to so much attack from the devil. And then, you know, you've got nothing to lean on. And the one big difference is watching and praying, being aware of what is going on around you and asking God for the help that you need. We all need God right now. We all need God to help us to do the things that we're supposed to do. And the big difference between those that will do it with joy and those that will fail to do it at all is the watching and praying. When you pray, you receive strength from above. God gives you little nuggets of information that will really help to make your life easier. And that's what the big difference is. Okay, we need to quickly do the next parable, which is not as long. But still is interesting. And this one is the parable of the watchful servants. And it's from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 32. And Jesus, again speaking, says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch and pray." And then this has got an exclamation mark. Okay, I can't, in such a short passage of only six verses, it says, be on guard, be alert, watch and pray. It says it so many times and each time with an exclamation mark, which means it's a command word. This is something that you have to do. You have to be watchful. You have to be prayerful. Because if we think about it, if the disciples knew that Jesus was going to go back up to heaven and it would be at least 2,021 years before he came back, do you think they would have acted differently? Would they have been so vigilant in spreading the word of God and talking about Jesus and the miracles that he had done while he was on earth? Would they have been so convicted in enlarging the kingdom of God and getting new disciples and all of that? Would they have put as much effort? Because if we think about it in our lifetime, and let's say we're preparing for a party, and it's a week to the party. I don't know very many people who would put out the clothes they're going to wear to the party next Saturday. Today, you wouldn't do that on Sunday with a whole 6 days to go before the party. You wouldn't start putting on the music and having a little dance to get yourself into the mood 6 days in advance. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't put your makeup on and sort out your hair 6 days in advance. You would chill. You would relax. You would enjoy this half term that's here. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday even,
you would be just chilling, knowing that the party is coming, but like, yeah, I'm going to get ready. I know I'll be fine. 1 hour before the party, you're going to put on your skates. You're going to get going, get moving, and start getting ready for the party. You're going to make sure you've done your hair. On that Saturday morning, you might do your nails. You're going to, you know, now you're going to get ready. Now you're going to, it's going to be urgent. Now you're going to put on the music to get yourself in the mood and woo-hoo and all of that. You wouldn't do that so long in advance, 6 days in advance. So if the disciples knew that it was going to be such a long time before Jesus came back, they might have gone off to a party. They might have thought, do you know what? Somebody else is can do that closer to the time. I've got 2,000 years. Come on. God is going to put that in the heart of someone else. They wouldn't have bothered to compile the Bible. They wouldn't have compiled all of that ready for us to receive now and to learn from it. So there would have been a lot of changes. A lot of things change. And then they would have thought, you know, when he's coming closer, yeah, then people can get ready. Now it's not so urgent. Can you imagine how Paul's letters to the Corinthians would have changed? Because it would have been like, yeah, he's coming back, but guys, just chill. It's not yet. So we would have had a different attitude and a different feel when we're getting ready for something, when it's still a long way away, or when it's still, when it gets very, very close. But Jesus wants us to be doing the work that he has assigned each one of us to do. He wants us to be on our guard. He wants us to watch, and he wants us to pray. And he says, do not be found sleeping. Don't think like the hare did when he was racing the tortoise, that I've got lots of time. That guy is so slow. I'm going to roll over and have a kip. And it was while he was sleeping then that the tortoise slowly passed him by and slowly got to the finishing line before that hare even woke up. So what specific tasks have you been asked to do by God? Maybe you're an older brother or sister. Maybe you're a younger brother or sister. Maybe you're neither of those. You haven't got any siblings. It doesn't matter. God still gives us assignments. He gives us jobs that he wants us to do. And he wants you to be doing those jobs. Like you see in the parable, different servants had different areas of expertise. They had different places that they were looking after. Maybe somebody was in charge of cleaning the bathrooms. Someone would have been in charge of the kitchen. Someone would have been in charge of different areas of the house, right? So if you're doing the bathrooms, you will be judged on how clean the bathrooms are. You won't be asked about the kitchen because that is not your assignment. So Jesus just wants you to be doing what he has assigned you to do and to be doing that faithfully. Watch and pray and do not be sleeping on the job when he comes back. So you'll be judged on the job that you have been given to do. And several scriptures, I mean, I could really go on here. They're quite a lot that tell us about our responsibilities. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, for example, says, so you too must keep watch. You do not know the day or the hour of my return. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, you can read that on your own. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. And it goes on for a bit. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee for you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So these are the things that we are supposed to do, the things that we are supposed to be committing ourselves to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 12 is very good as well. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Again, it's getting that wisdom from God. It's getting that information and the strength that we need to endure, because coronavirus came and affected the whole world. But there are few Christians that will still be standing, still be holding on to the Lord at the end of it all. Make sure that you watch and pray, and God helps you to become one of those. So, the three things that we can learn from both of these things. One, no one knows the hour when Jesus' second return will be. Number two, if you are faithful and prepared, you will be rewarded at the end times. Number three, if you are unfaithful and unprepared, you will suffer eternal punishment. But we know that this is the warning. This is the time that we should be using this information to help us to live a better life. So I pray that God blesses you and that God watches over you. And over this half term, that you will enjoy it. And that you will be ready to listen in on the 6th of March, when we'll be doing the quiz of all the 46 parables that we have been discussing and talking about over the last few weeks. God bless you and keep you, and I will speak to you soon. Bye.